Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 8th of November, 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week was Remembrance Sunday, and the podcast also includes the 2 minute silence and active remembrance we had at church. Andy spoke on remembering and remembering to keep our eyes on Jesus. The reading is Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. So let's go and join Andy as he is doing the reading.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. It's obviously an important day today, though every Sunday is important, as every day is important, as we remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us, and today particularly as we remember those who have died as a result of conflict or war around the world. And we will be coming to that shortly. But it's also an opportunity for us to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what the scriptures say. I don't know about you, but if I fix my eyes on the things that are going on in the world today, I don't hold much hope for tomorrow. But it's when I fix my eyes on Jesus that I have hope for tomorrow. And so today we also fix our eyes on the Lord. I just wanted to speak very briefly before and a little bit afterwards, after the act of remembrance, from those words that I read in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 to 3, where the author of Hebrews says to his audience, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Anybody watch the rugby yesterday? No. Or the football? Pretty dismal, isn't it, really? Saturday afternoon entertainments. Despite the result of the England-Australia rugby match, despite that, they say that playing on home turf gives the home team a real advantage. I don't know what happened yesterday, but nevertheless, we know that to be true, don't we? That playing on the home turf gives the home team a real advantage. They have the home crowd behind them, and they say that the home crowd can lift the team to victory. If you've ever watched the Olympics or another athletic event, don't you love it when the crowd start clapping? Do you know when they start clapping? Very slowly, and they gradually get faster and faster. But they start clapping as a long jumper or a high jumper begins to get ready to make his sort of or her final approach. And they start clapping, hoping that somehow the clapping that they make, the noise that they make, the encouragement that they give is going to enable the long jumper and the high jumper to sprint faster and to jump longer and to jump higher. It's a lovely and amazing sense in those stadiums. And it's often, it is true, they say, that often athletes perform better at the actual competition. I'd have thought they'd have been as nervous as anything, more nervous and therefore hindered. But apparently athletes perform better at the competition than they did in training. And they often surprise themselves with the speeds or the distances that they can do. And they put this down to the encouragement of the crowd. When you're training on your own, it's hard work, isn't it? But when you've got the crowd behind you, it lifts you and encourages you. The cloud or the crowd of witnesses? The cloud of witnesses. The Bible says that we, you and I, are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So, let you and I run with perseverance the race that has been marked out for us. The great cloud of witnesses that Paul, or the author of Hebrews, refers to in chapter 12 is the list of Bible characters that he's just detailed. And he says, consider Enoch, consider Noah, consider Abraham, consider Isaac, consider Jacob, consider Joseph, consider Moses' parents, consider Moses himself, consider Joshua, and so on and so on. Consider their lives, he says. And take encouragement that they went through all sorts of trials, just as we do. Yet they proved God was faithful. And they proved that we can remain faithful too. In a moment, we shall be particularly remembering victims of war and conflict. And in a sense, they are like a cloud of witnesses too. And we must ponder, what do their lives tell us? But this last week has also been All Hallows, hasn't it? The day we particularly remember and give thanks to God for all those who have gone before us in the faith and whose lives have touched us and shaped us. They also are like a cloud of witnesses urging us on today. But we can also thank God for those people that he has put around us today who continue to shape our lives, who continue to encourage us, who continue to urge us on to run the race that God has prepared for us. And this morning I want to suggest one other thing for next week, but I want to bring it into this week. Is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And I want to suggest that we today, rather than looking at others to be a cloud of witness for us, that we today can be like that cloud of witnesses to each other and to others. In Hebrews 10, just before this passage that I read, Paul, the author, says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. But on a bigger scale, we can be a cloud of witnesses to our Christian brothers and sisters in other countries like Iran, who are persecuted for their faith, who are suffering today, who are dying today, not in conflict with another country, but because of their faith. To urge them on, to encourage them, to witness to them that God is faithful, to pray for them that they would remain faithful in the faith in the face of such trial. I just want to read something out to you and put a few slides up here. We want to pray, we want to be that cloud of witnesses for our brothers and sisters around the world. Can you put the next one on? I want us to introduce you to these two ladies and tell you a bit of their story. One of them, Mariam Rustampour, 27 years of age, and Marzia, aged 30, were arrested in Iran on March the 5th, 2009, because of so-called anti-government activities. Both women are active Christians from a Muslim background. According to various news reports, plainclothes Iranian security forces entered and searched the ladies' apartment and confiscated their belongings, including their Bibles. They were then handcuffed and taken to a police station where they, in Tehran, where they are likely to have suffered psychological pressure, including sleep deprivation. On March the 18th, 2009, the Islamic Revolutionary Court sent them to Tehran's notorious Evin prison, where they have had to share an overcrowded cell with 27 other women. Since its construction in 1971, Evin prison, which is situated in a residential area to the northwest of the capital, has been used to detain and interrogate thousands of political prisoners, as well as criminals, including murderers and rapists. It houses up to 15,000 inmates, with the more well-known political prisoners being kept in solitary confinement. Between 1981 and 1988, up to 6,000 political prisoners were executed there under the direct order of the Ayatollah Khomeini. Maryam and Marzia have been accused of taking part in illegal gatherings and of being anti-government activists and national security risks. Both have spent time in solitary confinement and are allowed to make just one-minute telephone call each day to their families. On August the 8th, they were again brought before the Revolutionary Court in Tehran and instructed to deny their Christian faith. Both women resolutely refused and demonstrated tremendous courage during the intense questioning. And during the hearing, the deputy prosecutor, Mr. Haddad, asked them if they regretted becoming Christians. They replied, "We have no regrets." He then stated emphatically, "You should renounce your faith verbally and in written form." They stood firm and replied, "We will not deny our faith." During one tense moment in the questioning, Maryam and Marzia made reference to their belief that God had convicted them through the Holy Spirit. Mr. Haddad told them, "It is impossible for God to speak with humans." Marzia asked him in return, "Are you questioning whether God is almighty?" Mr. Haddad then replied, "You are not worthy for God to speak to you." Marzia said, "It is for God and not you to determine if I am worthy." The women were returned to prison, told to consider their options that they had been given, and to return to the court when they were ready to comply. However, both Maryam and Marzia have said, "We have already done our thinking." What amazing courage. What amazing conviction. What an amazing cloud of witnesses for us to hear their voice this morning as we remember those who lose and have lost their lives. The persecuted church will say to us this morning, God is faithful. Remain faithful to him. We're going to pray. As we pray after our act of remembrance, we're also going to pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. And if anyone would like to take some further information away, I've produced some little leaflets here which will enable you to pray during this week for your brothers and sisters around the world. Let's have a moment of quiet as we think about them And as we think about our act of remembrance this morning, Father, you desire that all people should live in love and peace with you and with one another according to the pattern of your kingdom. And we pray today, as we have heard about our Christian brothers and sisters around the world who suffer at the hands of others because of their faith in the Lord Jesus, and as we remember those who've lost their lives because of war or conflict, we pray that we who are called by your name may increasingly yield our lives to your service, to work for reconciliation, understanding, and peace in all our relationships, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This last week has been described in the news, actually last night, as the bloodiest week since the conflict in Afghanistan began. As we remember those who have died in what we call the two world wars, we also remember that young men and women are still losing their lives today in conflicts around the world. And many innocent people are also caught up in the violence. They are witnesses to us today that no one ever wins in war. So with others up and down the country, let us stand and remember in silence before God all those who have lost their lives or who suffer as a result of prejudice, conflict, or war. As we stand, we will hear the last post, which will lead us into a 2-minute silence, which will be followed by the reveille. And when we have that 2-minute silence, we shall turn to face the plaque and the wreath there on the wall at the back. And Peter's going to come and read some familiar words to us. Would you stand? Peter, would you like to come?
They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Thank you. silence.
I want to ask, what about you? How are you? The rest of those words in Hebrews say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. What about you? How are you? I don't know if you've noticed this week, I'm going to be brief. Did you say thank you? Or did you? Yes. Amen. Just in case you're sitting there thinking, oh no, he's going to preach for half an hour, I'm not. I don't know if you noticed this week, but have you seen the amazing rainbows we've had? It has been an extraordinary week for rainbows. We've had days of dark, threatening cloud and beautiful, clear sky all at once. Days of heavy rain and bright, warm sunshine. Days which produce wonderful rainbows. The rainbow is a witness. We may think the rainbow is for us. Well, it is, of course. And we rejoice when we see one, don't we? When we see it, we remember that God covenanted never to flood the earth again and destroy all life. But you know, the rainbow is there as a reminder to God too. Did you know that? God says in Genesis, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant between me and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? It's great to think, isn't it, that God sees the rainbow and remembers his covenant. Next time you see a rainbow, rejoice at what it means for you, but also say, Lord, are you looking? Are you looking? For sure he will be. Having been told about the great cloud of witnesses that surround us, that encourage us, and that urge us on, the writer of Hebrews then says to them, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the expert witness. The other witnesses, the Noahs, the Abrahams, the Enochs, they were great. And we're to look to them and to remember, but they weren't perfect. Jesus is the one who has passed through suffering, even death on the cross, to be raised to life again. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we remember that he gave his life for us, that he died, that he came back to life, and that he lives today. That he ran the race, he crossed the finishing line, he won the prize. Therefore, the author says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Consider him, think on him, fix your eyes on him, so that you and I will not grow weary and lose heart. Is anyone feeling weary this morning? Is anyone, because of circumstances, losing heart? Brothers and sisters, fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him who went through it all, that we may not grow weary and lose heart. This was written to people who are experiencing all sorts of trial and persecution because of their faith, which is why I wanted to bring the persecuted church in this morning. And the author was saying to them, you may suffer, but remember Jesus suffered too. You may lose your life, but remember Jesus died too. Notice Jesus didn't focus on his suffering. Notice he focused on the joy that was promised to him on the other side of the suffering. The joy. And we should do the same. Perhaps too often we focus on the suffering, the trials, the difficulties, the problems, and not enough on the joy, which is on the other side of them, the promise of the Lord. The suffering church, the testimony of the suffering church, teaches us to focus on the joy that is on the other side. The Apostle Peter, he needed to focus, didn't he? Not on the turbulent water that was beneath his feet, but on the person of Jesus. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, as sure, as sure, as sure, we will begin to sink. And the issues and the trials and the problems and the suffering will overwhelm us. How are you feeling this morning? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Friends, fix your eyes on Jesus. Let me read you very briefly a story of a lady called Helen Bahan. You may remember, and a couple of years ago we were praying very much for a group of Eritrean Christians who were hauled up and imprisoned in metal crates. And they were kept there for weeks and weeks and weeks. One of them was an Eritrean gospel singer called Helen Bahan. And she was in there for 2 years in a steel shipping container in the desert because she was a Christian. Sometimes she says, I cannot believe that this is my life. These four metal walls, all of us corralled like cattle, the pain, the hunger, the fear, all because of my belief in a God who has risen, who charges me to share my faith with those who do not yet know him, a God who I am forbidden to worship. I think back to a question I have been asked many times over many months in prison. Is your faith worth this, Helen? As the guards continued on their rounds, I whisper the answer. Yes. Yes. Where were her eyes fixed? On whom was she fixed? Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, there are always things that tempt us to take our eyes off Jesus. But the author says in verse 2, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles. Do you remember David, the boy David, who went out to fight the giant Goliath? The king and his brothers, they dressed this little boy, this young man, in their suit of armor, and they gave him their sword. But he could not move. He could not fight with it. It was too much of a hindrance. So he took it off, and he laid it down. Then he won the battle. You know, there are things in our lives which hinder us. God's word says to us this morning, deal with it. Deal with it. Take off everything that hinders. And discard the sin that so easily entangles. Deal with it. Don't say, Lord, well, do say, Lord, help me. But then he'll turn round to you and say, you deal with it. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Deal with it. If we do not take these things off, and I'm sure we can each identify what they are for us, we will sink. If we take our eyes off Jesus, we will sink. We must throw off or lay down anything that hinders us and get rid of those things, those sins that entangle us and keep us, causing us to stumble and fall. Brothers and sisters, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. What about you? How are you this morning, this day of remembrance? Father, we ask for your grace and your love, your kindness, your gentleness, your might, your power, your goodness to come into our lives. That whatever is going on in our lives, in the lives of those around us, Lord, we may not look at the turbulent water and sink, but we would fix our eyes on Jesus and the joy that is before us. Lord, give us your grace. Give grace to each one of us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on today's sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And remember, next week, the 15th, is Back to Church Sunday. So if you're in the area and you haven't been to church for a while, or you haven't been at all, then please come along. We'd love to see you. There's more about that on the website as well. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.